They gave for a male slave in 1704 merchandise to the value of nearly 3 ounces of gold. A Dutch representative at the Elmina Castle in Gold Coast reported that the Negroes now pay more attention to the slave trade than the gold trade, as they do better by it. An Englishman who visited the Fante Coast in 1726 remarked, "Why this is called the Gold Coast, I do not know." Yezare.
Yeah, Wizo.
And welcome to a very interesting episode of Africa's Untold Stories. Mm-hmm. Now, what I just read were combined from two different works of research done into slavery on the Gold Coast. Gold Coast being the southern parts of the country that is today known as Ghana. Yeah. And I know for a long time on Africa's Untold Stories, we have shied away from the topic of the slave trade because, you know, Africa is more than just slave trade. A lot of people think of Africa as pyramids by some not so African Africans, then a whole bunch of blank, and then tribes, mm-hmm. and, you know, chilling with gorillas, yes. and zebras, and then white man came and started shipping us off to go and, you know, dominate another continent. But we purposefully, you know, did not want to, we wanted to take people's minds away from that version of Africa that, you know, people had in their minds. But for a long time now, you notice that a lot of people don't actually understand how slavery works or worked. It's very interesting that what I just read was related to the transatlantic slave trade. But in today's episode, which is actually going to kick off a new series that we'd be doing, we are not going to actually cover the transatlantic slave trade. Maybe at some point in the future, we'll do that. we will probably do an episode on that later. But the beginning of the series is just meant to capture slave trade within Africa itself. Mm. Now, at the quotes I read at the beginning, about how the slave trade became so profitable for the southern Ghanaians that they started selling more slaves than gold, even though the name of the coast is Gold Coast. They actually have more gold than slaves, but they sold more slaves than gold because it was more profitable to sell the slaves. The reason that was able to happen was because there was already a tradition of slavery in Ghana. Mm. And unfortunately, it was not unique to the Gold Coast or Ghana. Neither was it unique to West Africa. And it actually wasn't even unique to just Africa. Mm-mm. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, but slavery in one form or another is one of the oldest institutions ever to exist. The only thing I can think of that is definitely older than slavery is probably farming. Like, that's the only thing I can think of. I might have said prostitution, but I'm pretty sure there were a good number of prostitutes who were slaves. Yeah. So I don't think prostitution is older than farming. Sorry, it's older than slavery. So, yeah. Of course, whenever we refer to slavery, people always rightly do point out that slavery is very different depending on where you go or what you're considering. Mm-hmm. There are different definitions for slavery. Different scholars will give you different explanations and all of this kind of things. In fact, in some places like Ghana, a lot of people would like to differentiate the kind of slavery that existed before the transatlantic slavery from the transatlantic slavery. They'll tell you it was more humane, etc. Oh, it wasn't really slavery. It was more like sometimes they say indentured servitude, or more like household, what's it called? Household like a servants helper. Or yes. debt repayment or a helper or whatever. But the bottom line is, now I'm no scholar, but considering all the different versions of slavery and definitions that go along, that have gone around for a long time, and considering the fact that we live in the 21st century now, and so we have an entire, we have entire millennia of slavery to look back at in its different versions or forms, whether relatively free and beneficial ones to the very punishing and painful ones, the worst of which was the transatlantic slavery. For this episode or this short series we'd be doing, we would consider slavery basically as anything that robs the institution, sorry, that robs a person of their freedom and requires them to work for someone for free. So
okay,
that's the mindset with which we are going on with this slavery thing, so that we don't give an example that someone is like, wait, no, that's not really slavery. No. To kick things off, we are going to start by considering slavery in Western Africa.
Okay, so just Western Africa for this particular episode.
For this particular episode, just Western Africa. Okay. Also, I don't know if it's already obvious, but I am a bit under the weather. So
it's heavily obvious. It's fine. But it's fine. We'll just pretend you're sick.
So starting with West Africa, that's where we're going to start with. And I mean, slavery has existed throughout all of human history. I really can't quite think of a society or a civilization, or let me say a major civilization throughout human history that has at no point in time had anything like slavery. I'm sure about there are definitely a few of them that didn't have that, definitely, but they are the exceptions. They are definitely not the norm.
Yeah,
slavery was so common around the world that in certain parts of the world, when certain movements or whatever come up, like religious movements that sort of frown on slavery or whatever, they don't really abolish it. They're like, no, don't treat the slaves this way, treat them this way instead, you know, all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying all of that so that you know that the fact that we're doing episodes on slavery in Africa does not mean Africans were uniquely evil to each other or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's a human thing.
It's a very human thing. I think I remember reading it, even in the Bible, there were commandments on how to treat slaves and stuff like that. So yeah, exactly. It's definitely beyond this continent.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, just keep that in mind while we dive in. So, West Africa. I'm sorry, forgive me for laughing.
Okay.
You know, when I started doing this research, I already had an idea of, slavery in West Africa, in Africa in general, and especially in West Africa, because, you know, that's where we are. And it's very funny sometimes, at some points. Some points, not so funny. Okay. Some points, funny. So, all right, let me just kick things off.
Yeah, I've gone before, too before much. The listeners so, yeah. start thinking we are crazy, laughing at slavery, but let's go on.
So slavery in West Africa had two main forms, right? There was the one that was more related to the one that was practiced more around the Sahel region. So I don't know if you don't really know about West Africa, I would suggest at this point I just get a map and look at West Africa. I just want to show you something.
Mm-hmm. I have my map pulled up.
West Africa can primarily be divided into, let me say, three zones. The upmost zone would be the Sahara area. Then you have the Sahelian and Savannah area. Then you have the forests area. The forest area is the lowermost part, closer to the coast. That's where you have areas like mid to southern Ghana, southern Nigeria, you know, Liberia, all of those things. So the kingdoms that existed around those areas would be like the Ashanti, the Yoruba, the Dahomey, those kind of kingdoms, right? Yeah. Now, the nature of slavery in these forest and coastal kingdoms, southern coastal kingdoms, were different from the nature of slavery in the Sahelian and savannah areas of what do you call it, West Africa.
Wow.
Right. Traditionally, there was an initial difference. The difference would also become more significant with the advent of Islam in the Sahel.
Okay.
So when Islam was introduced into the Sahel, Islam does not frown on slavery, mind you. So when these, you know, it's like, okay, you shouldn't do this to your slave. Your slave should be able to do this, or et cetera, et cetera. So it had an influence on the nature of slavery that was practiced at that point. Right? Okay.
But for the better or for the worse?
It's slavery, bro. I don't think.
I mean,
I think ultimately the only way it would be for the better is if it was emancipation.
I know. I'm just saying.
But okay. But yeah, I mean, nah, if it's emancipation, that's the only thing I can think of, really. But you, when we discuss, you okay, have a look at that. You have a look at that. Don't worry. All right. So okay. So let's for the purposes of this episode, mm-hmm. right? I want us to pick one kingdom. So what we do is we'll consider slavery in West Africa. Then we'll consider Central Africa. Then East Africa, Southern Africa, and North Africa. That's what we're going to do. To be fair, Central African slavery is not so different from West African slavery, so we might combine maybe Central and Southern Africa or something. But East African slavery was just wild.
All right,
that one is a whole episode on its own.
Okay.
Did you really just woo?
I just wooed, bro. I'm here to learn. It's hard, but I'm here to learn. So.
Yeah, that's excitement to learn. Exactly. So, all right, let's kick things off now. People know that when Mansa Musa was traveling, mm-hmm. he had people carrying, you know, so much gold and all of those things for him. What a lot of people don't tend to think about is Mansa Musa had thousands of slaves who were carrying the stuff that he was, you know, walking, traveling with. And one funny thing that a lot of people don't actually know as well is when Mansa Musa came from his Hajj pilgrimage, he actually returned with white slaves.
Huh?
Yeah. That's just something to give you before we kick it.
Okay.
So, Mansa Musa actually had white slaves.
Wow. That is news to me. So, I was just about to say, I remember from the episode that we mentioned something about slaves being decked out in gold when he was like moving towards the region. But I don't remember.
Anything.
Where was he? He came back with non-black slaves. I'm surprised. All right.
Yeah. Anyway. So. Anyway, that was just by the way. I just wanted to say that because it's a very interesting tidbit.
Yeah.
For West Africa, right?
That's something I never do.
So for West Africa, we are going to consider slavery in general in West Africa, of course. But we would zoom in on one kingdom / empire, the Ashanti Kingdom / empire.
All right. Yes. This is very close.
I mean, that's one of the most famous ones. Yeah, so a lot of people probably would know that Ashanti Kingdom existed in modern-day Ghana. The southern half started from around the center part of modern-day Ghana. They expanded, conquered other people, conquered a good part of what is today Ghana, almost 50%, if I had to guess. At some point, at its peak, about 50%. So that was very impressive. Yeah, so slavery in West Africa varied wildly. Even in West Africa, it varied really wildly. Slavery in West Africa varied. Already, I already mentioned they were different. The ones in the Sahelian side were quite different from the ones in the forested and the southern forest areas, region. Right? And yes. Great. And also, even within in those situations, there were some interesting differences. So, for example, in Jamai, which is in modern day Jamai, G-Y-A-M-A-N.
Okay. That sounds like a very
Akan. Which will fall in. It is Akan. Okay. It is Akan. It's it's Ivorian.
I see.
And you know, Akans are like 40%. Yeah. Ivorians are like 40% Akan. Yes. Yeah. In that kingdom, it was very common. It was actually expected that the slaves go to work in the field with their masters. So in that kind of environment, the slaves were seen more as free labor that you treated right.
I see.
Essentially, they were interns.
Okay. Okay.
Except they never had a chance at a promotion or permanent actually, job. Yes. They were interns. Okay. That was it.
Forever an intern. Damn. That's sad.
Yeah. An eternal intern. Exactly. But if you compare that approach to slavery to a people like the Jula are a Mande speaking peoples that exist throughout Sahelian parts of West Africa, the western side. Okay. So Mali, I think there actually some in Burkina. What's the one I just mentioned? Ivory Coast, mm-hmm. etc. Around those areas. So, one thing they'd say is that the jewelers, their masters usually never met the slaves.
Huh?
They would buy the slaves and then they'll send them out to go and work on the field, like maybe on their farm or whatever. And then their master gets the produce and all of those kind of things and goes to sell them. He almost never meets the slave because many of the jewelers, they were traders. So their mind is my money. Farm, get me my stuff. Farm, get me my stuff. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is so. On one hand, the master works hand in hand with the slave on the farm, and then on the other hand, it's like a separate institution. Like there's the supply chain, and then there's like the commercial side of things, and the slaves handle like the primary production of the stuff, and then the masters handle the selling.
Exactly.
Interesting. Wow.
And then you also had instances where if you have a slave, right? So throughout West African states, you could own a slave either as a royal or as a private person or a businessman or whatever. Mm. You could own a slave, either a businessman or a farmer or whatever. You could own a slave. And one interesting thing about slavery in West Africa is when you became a slave, right? Generally speaking, if you consider all the different kinds of slavery that existed in West Africa, if you became a slave, you had three paths you could walk. The first one is you become a slave who has a path to emancipation, either partial or full emancipation, okay. To the extent that you could actually even become a part of a king, you know, a kinship group. In some instances, you know, so that was something that could happen in the Igbo or Yoruba societies, you know, that's one type. So this is a late addition, but one of the best examples of slaves becoming members of a kingship group was in Igbo land, specifically among the Ngwa Igbo people of the Borno Kingdom in modern day Nigeria, where two houses were fighting over the kingship, i.e. who should be king. And interestingly enough, both houses were controlled by former slaves. You could get like a partial emancipation, and that was something that could happen in some place like northern Nigerian state, the Hausa and Fulani states, where you are kind of free, but you're not really free. You bought your freedom for a period of time. So you could buy your freedom for a year. And after a year, I guess you fall back to being a slave.
Wow.
So in Bauchi, which is in Nigeria today, you could buy your freedom for 5,000 cowries. Among the Soninke of around Senegal, Mauritania area, you could buy your freedom for 337 kilograms of millet, which is roughly the amount needed to feed an adult in a year. You could buy your freedom for that much for an entire year after the year ends, I guess your trial period ends. But during that year, you can, you know, run your own business, do whatever you want, try to make money, etc. I guess if you make enough money, then you can, you know, just keep buying your freedoms, like a subscription plan. Look at that.
That it's very interesting. It's more like a, so it's like a leave of absence that you pay for.
Okay, yeah, I guess. It's a leave of absence where you are paying your employer.
That's amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, but so, this also makes me question, like, is it that these people had such integrity that they were expected to return, or they were like, there were certain, you know, plans put in place to make sure that, yeah.
Okay. So in every society, right, you have people at the top, you have people at the bottom. So even in societies where the slaves were not an entirely separate class, one thing was certain. You do not let slaves behave like they are free men. It could upend the entire society. Because in a lot of kingdoms, free labor was essential. It was the backbone of so many kingdoms. You had to have free labor to be able to do what you were doing. You had to have someone work as much as you want them to and only give them what you think they are due, not what they think they deserve. So in a lot of these instances, if you're a runaway slave and you are caught, it's not a good thing for you. You just make sure you're never caught. So, but the other thing too is, slavery was normal. It was very normal to them. Over here in the modern world, we look at slavery like, ew, like, you know, why would you do that? You're taking away this. Back then, it was just a fact of life. These guys were born as they were born. They knew that I could be a slave. If you're a slave, you are in society. You're playing a role in society, etc., etc. And the areas of the West Africa that had this sort of subscription model of freedom were in the Sahelian and Savannah areas. The areas I mentioned were more influenced by Islam.
Yeah.
You see. Yes. And those were also areas where slavery was very abundant. Like, there were a lot of slaves. And I mean a lot. Like, there were cities and towns where the slaves outnumbered the free men. In some instances, they said, in the city of Kano in modern day Nigeria, one observer estimated that about half of the population were slaves. In Lagos in Nigeria, it was estimated that at a point up to 80% of the population were slaves. Even in Ghana, in Kumasi, there were so many slaves that when slavery was coming to an end, they had to send the slaves out of Kumasi into other towns, because if those people had somehow become free or whatever, it could cause a societal collapse. So they had to spread the slaves out of Kumasi because they could end up outnumbering the free men in the city.
Wow.
So slavery, it was very easy. If you were a businessman or a private individual or a royal and you had the wealth, it was very easy to get a slave. So simple. There were slave markets littered all over major towns. You go there, slave market. You could always buy another slave or whatever. So you being someone who is able to have a side job where you can afford your own freedom for a year, you are definitely not going to try to run foul of the law by, you know, trying to run away or whatever. You would rather go and get another slave to come and work for you, so that you can increase the amount of money you make and then just keep paying off your slave masters in these Sahelian and Savannah areas actually allowed their slaves to have their own businesses.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah. So let's move on. So that's one path of slavery. You could end up being becoming a member of a kinship group or getting emancipation in some form. Now, second path when you become a slave is, I mentioned three, right? Okay. Oh, no, this one. So I wanted this one to be the last one. So the the other one is rather on the second path to when you become a slave is, well, all right, fine. I guess the second path when you become a slave is freedom, like straight up freedom, not partial emancipation or just becoming a member of a kinship group, but you become free. You purchase your freedom, essentially. You give your owner some money and then you become free. Or, and so emancipation of slaves was more common in the Sahelian and savanna areas than the lower and forested areas. And one scholar suggested that this was a case because there were just so many available slaves. Like, if a guy let one slave go, he doesn't really care. He'll just go to the market and get another one. So,
bruh, like, how are there so many? Like, what?
Relax. After this, we'll get into how the slaves were gotten. Don't worry. After this, we'll get into that.
Okay, yes. I need to understand
why. So, yeah. But I should note that, you know, the fact that there were paths to freedom when you were a slave, but like I mentioned before, it was easier in the Sahel and Savannah region. Mm-hmm. But if you were a woman, you had a higher chance of getting free from slavery than if you were a man.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Actually, in more parts of West Africa, that was flat out the case. If you're a woman, you had a higher chance of being freed from slavery than if you were a man. Now, the reason was because primarily, if you were a woman and you married a free man, not necessarily even if you married a free man, if you gave birth to the child of a free man, you automatically become free. This was the case in certain areas.
So I'm guessing a lot of masters couldn't keep it in their pants.
Exactly. So once you give birth to a master's kid, the kid is born free, so you automatically become free. Now, that was one of the paths for freedom for, that was one of the paths of freedom for female slaves. Of course, you being a male slave, it's not exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
You don't have the right to do
that. Yeah, it's biologically.
But,
not happening for you, so.
Yeah, it's not happening for you anytime soon, so yeah, forget about it. But if you were a male slave, you could also become free by purchasing your freedom permanently and then becoming free. This was more common in the Sahel and Savannah areas. Now, throughout West Africa, one of the ways people became slaves was through debt. So you become a slave to work off your debt. So when you finish paying the debt, you become a free man as well.
Okay.
That was another, yeah, that was another way that, you know, it could happen. Yeah, so that was, full emancipation was the second path when you become a slave, which was also possible. Also a side note about the, slave women giving birth to free kids and then becoming free as well. You know the Songhai Empire, the largest empire to exist in West Africa?
Yes.
Two of its rulers actually had slave mothers.
Oh. Ho ho.
Yeah, so that's a very interesting thing to keep aside. And also, the prettier a female slave was, the more likely she was to be chosen by the master to have a child, and then she becomes free. So
pretty privilege.
Pretty privilege. Yeah, it's always been a thing.
Oh my god.
Okay. Yeah, anyway. So apparently this whole situation of the women being more likely to be free than the men contributed to the fact that in many areas of West Africa, the slaves outnumbered the males by about 2 to 1. sorry, the female slaves outnumbered the males by about 2-to-1 in many areas in West Africa. So anyway, the third path when you became a slave, so the first path we said was, you know, becoming a member of a kinship group, yes, you know, joining a family or whatever, mm-hmm, or getting partial emancipation. The second one was, you know, becoming actually free. And then the third one was being killed.
Well, I don't think that exactly counts as freedom, Adari. I mean, it's freedom from this earth and this life, but
that's why it's a separate group. That's why it's a separate group.
I see.
Yeah. So when you become a slave, there's a fair chance that you will be sacrificed.
Oh, wait. So it's not like they are being killed for crimes they commit? Or something?
No. No. If you're a slave, you have a purpose. So the slaves who were killed were either killed in war or they were killed in sacrifices. So in some areas in West Africa, especially the areas that were influenced by Islam, like, you know, they no longer used slaves for ritual sacrifices because, of course, Islam eschews those, mm-hmm, things. You're not supposed to do ritual sacrifices. And although Islam didn't really penetrate all the way to the bottom, so not everyone was a proper Muslim, they mixed their traditional beliefs with Islam, or sometimes they just did not practice Islam at all. The rulers were proper Muslims. You know, they actually tried. Well, proper is, maybe I should use the word proper, but they, in some form or shape, tried to stick with Islamic law. And so, of course, ritual killings are against Islamic law. Mm-hmm. So they would make sure that it's not something that they promote in their territories. Right.
Okay.
So if you were a slave in the Sahelian or savannah areas, you were more likely to, you know, die out of war.
Okay.
You go to war. You are drafted into the army. You are made to go and fight. Mm-hmm. And then you go to war and you become a slave, basically. Sorry, no. You go to war and then you die. Sorry.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. It was either that or, yeah, you are used as a ritual sacrifice. Wow. And I was initially going to save this for the Ashanti part when we go into the details, but in the Ashanti kingdom, they had entire villages dedicated for slaves who were meant to be used for sacrifice.
Wait, what?
Which
entire villages?
Wow. I kid you not.
Yo. So, like,
that's crazy.
You live there, you know you are going to die for...
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly. You live there, you know you're going to die from a ritual. So, apparently, one thing that happened was sometimes... Okay, no, I'll save that for when we do the Ashantis in details. But yeah. The ritual killings was also another thing. And in some parts, it was worse than in others. So, in this part... in modern day Nigeria, southern part of modern day Nigeria, around what do they call that place? Calabar.
Uh huh.
I don't know if you know
Calabar.
That.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Modern day Nigeria. So there's this thing called the Order of the Blood Men in Calabar. Eish. It's a couple of papers that I came across when I was researching. Now that sounds like a very, you know, culty something, yeah, ritualistic, whatever. So the Order of the Blood Men was actually a group of slaves in Calabar who came together to form a pact. Now, the pact was that they formed a blood pact. The blood pact stated that they were going to resist all attempts by their slave masters to use them in ritual killings. Because it had become so common, like it had gotten so out of hand, so many slaves were being killed for rituals. Like every small ritual they were doing, they'll kill a slave and all those kind of things. So the slaves came together and then they formed a pact and said, yo, all of us, this is what we're going to do. We are going to fight these people if they say they'll kill us. So it was kind of like a unionizing thing. So they unionized in some form. not to ask for their freedom.
Just to ask. Keep in mind, they were not asking
for their freedom.
Like, please.
Just to ask to not be killed.
What the heck?
Exactly.
This is sad. This is so sad.
It's crazy.
Wow. Okay.
So I just remembered something, actually. So the three parts to slavery I was actually talking about, the kingship and emancipation, were one part.
Oh.
There were not two parts. There were one part. The second part is the ritual. And then the third part is you're a slave till you die.
Oh, so it's just like forever your state.
Forever till you die. You're just a slave. That was actually the fate of a crap ton of people.
Okay. So are those people allowed to like live normally in a sense? Like, are they allowed to have families or bear children?
Oh, yeah. And then in certain societies, your kids were also slaves.
Okay.
In some, they weren't.
Okay. So it's just like, it's basically a slave farm then. You're just farming more slaves, in a sense.
Yeah. But I mean, it wasn't a case for all slaves. Not all slaves had that opportunity to have families. Yeah. So anyway, so those were the three paths you had to walk if you were a slave. Those are the three parts you had to options that could possible outcomes for you if you were a slave. And of course, so let's move on to how you became a slave. Uh-huh. Right now, the most common way you become a slave in West Africa back in the day was you were captured as a result of war or a slave raid.
Okay, so prisoner of war.
Now,
or like they just raid your village and then capture everybody as slaves.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn. All right.
Yeah. And that was actually the most common way you became a slave. And the people who did this were the more powerful kingdoms. They were guilty of this, incredibly guilty of this. They would they go out and conquer. Not conquer and raid and capture thousands and thousands of people. And there's this one funny dynamic I came across when I was reading about it. What the Salvin, the Yoruba in modern day Nigeria and Benin, mm-hmm. what they did, the relationship they had with the people of northern Nigeria was the people of northern Nigeria, their kingdoms sometimes would raid into the Yoruba areas, capture some of them as slaves and sell them. The Yoruba kingdoms in the south sometimes would raid the northern areas, capture them as slaves and sell them. So it was a constant exchange of slaves from both ends. And the funny thing is, they were not the only ones doing that. There are a few other kingdoms in West Africa that had that kind of weird dynamic. Not kingdoms, sorry. People groups that had that kind of weird dynamics where we capture your people and sell them as slaves to someone. You capture our people and sell them as slaves to someone. It was just some endless cycle. And war and raids account for the majority of slaves that were, the number of people that were made slaves in West Africa.
Okay.
And the very unfortunate thing is that slavery was a major driver of war. You know, because there was money in the slave trade. Yes. And
this is among Africans, or this is like with the Europeans.
Yeah, this is among Africans. Mm-hmm. No, even among Africans, it drove a lot of war.
Mm.
So, what was his name? Oh, no. I didn't write his name down because I know him and I'm like, oh, of course I remember his name. But then this ruler in he ruled areas parts, I think modern day Mali and Ivory Coast side of things, and he essentially formed what became like a slave kingdom, because the main thing that was fueling their economy and their ability to go for war was slaves. So slaves were the reason they were able to go for war, and slaves were also the reason they went to war.
Interesting.
So just a bit of additional information here. His name was Samori Toure, and he is well known for resisting the French conquest of West Africa. So it creates this vicious cycle, and it happened a lot in a lot of places in West Africa. And the peak of slavery in West Africa was around the 16, 17, 1800s, that period. And if you note, that was also the period when the Europeans started trading more with Africans. Mm-hmm. So the Europeans opened this, you know, they opened wide this slave market, because there's all of a sudden there's a huge demand for slaves as well. Of course, Africans were still selling slaves amongst each other, mm-hmm. and everything. But the slave trade in Africa blossomed because, you know, now we are not just selling to ourselves. We are selling to someone else somewhere. Yeah. So anyway, that was the primary way that people became slaves. But there were other ways as well. Now, I'm just going to pick a few from other parts of West Africa. Mm. So I think what I'm going to do is, I think we would be using too much time. So instead, I'm going to be sprinkling the Ashanti details throughout. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I'll be using them as examples in many areas. Okay. So there were different ways that you could become a slave. I mentioned there weren't the raids. Mm-hmm. And in different parts of West Africa, other things could contribute to you becoming a slave, right? So amongst the Ashantis in modern-day Ghana. Now, let me just say right off the bat, pretty much every single people in modern-day Ghana practiced slavery.
Okay.
The only people I can think of who did not practice slavery were the smaller groups, the much smaller groups.
Is it because they were the slaves themselves most of the time?
A lot of the time they were the slaves. And a lot of the time too, they didn't have centralized government.
Yeah.
And one of these people are my people.
Ah, bruh.
So when you go to the Upper East and Upper West regions of Ghana, in a lot of those places, they didn't have proper slave traditions. Mm. And that was because, like you said, they were actually the victims in many instances. And so in this region in northern Ghana and southern Burkina Faso, there are these houses that have basements.
Oh.
So they have, and the basement, they have a hidden path into the basement.
Mm-hmm.
And the main reason for that was slave raids.
Interesting.
So if maybe you see the horse riders coming and they're coming to capture you, right? Then you run into your house and you use the sneaky basement, the hidden entrance to go into your basement, sneak inside your basement. And then maybe the slave riders come and check your house. They don't see you. They think you're not around.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know that you have a secret basement underneath the ground.
Damn.
And it's actually a fascinating thing.
Damn.
But anyway, that was by the way. The other ways you could become a slave now, in the Ashanti side, debt. So the debt is actually not just Ashanti. A lot of parts of West Africa, people pawned themselves into slavery because they owed someone, or their parents owed someone.
Oh.
Their grandfathers or their uncles or whatever.
So it's like generational debt that you have to pay off. It may not have been you.
Yeah.
Ish. This actually
reminds
me of something like my people used to practice, the Trokosi system, where if a father wrongs the chief priest, the daughter is given out. I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah. Messed up. Very messed up. A very messed up system to practice, but that was it. And another thing, of course, another way you became is, well, okay, no. Another way you also became a slave was being born one. So, and this I'm also going to use an Ashanti example. So in the Ashanti kingdom, if a free man marries a slave, or if a free man and a slave have a child, the child is a slave.
Oh, okay.
Yes, because the Akans have a matrilineal system where you inherit from your mother. So if your father is free, but your mom is not free, you are inheriting from your mom's end. And all you're getting from your mom's end is more slavery. If your father is free, if your mom is free and your father is a slave, then, hey, you struck gold.
I wonder if that's even,
now,
like, I'm sure those were very rare occurrences.
Always very rare occurrence, bruh. You imagine how good looking you'd have to be a slave that somehow gets a free woman to say, I want you. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, there were other parts of West Africa too. One very fascinating one was apparently in, now this part of this information I'm about to give, I couldn't verify it elsewhere. I tried, but I could only find it in one source, so maybe take it with a grain of salt.
Okay.
Apparently in parts of Igbo land in Nigeria, if a woman attempted abortion and she failed, she could be made a slave.
Huh? Ha.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy, but apparently.
Wow.
Apparently. Okay. And also, there's a saying that in parts of Sierra Leone, mm-hmm. if a person is accused of a crime, right, they are made to drink red water.
Okay.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know what exactly the red water was. I couldn't find more details on that. But then, and then they said an iron is steeped into the juice of, what do you call it? It's steeped into the juice of certain herbs. And the iron is made hot, like, you know, very hot, red hot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's passed over the hands of the person suspected of committing the crime.
Mm.
Now, if the iron burns you, you are guilty and you are sold as a slave.
Ah, wait, hold on. Did anyone ever come out vindicated from this method?
I have no idea.
Bruh.
I really wanted more information, but I couldn't find it. I was like, wait, this is crazy. Are you, what? If you are burnt by the iron, you are made a slave.
Yo.
And that was just wild for me. If you're burnt by the iron, you're made a slave. What? How? Why? What are the chances of someone not being burned?
That's my question.
By iron, like, just because it went through herbs.
How is this a system that was agreed upon? Like, it's just, so basically, if you're accused and you are, and you know this is the system they are subjecting you to, you just know that slavery is your portion.
Exactly. I'm willing to bet it was a system that the people in power used to control others.
I see. Yo.
That's it's crazy. Probably something that was meant to stoke fear, because mm-hmm. it's like, nah, you don't cross that line. If you cross that line, I mean, we are going to tell you that it's a fair trial, but that's, really, is it really a fair trial?
It's rigged.
It's like protesting against Putin and then going on trial for protesting in Russia. Is it really a fair trial?
Yo.
Anyway, so yeah, that was one thing. And then there was another one which was troubling, and I also couldn't find more information on that. But apparently, children who cut their upper teeth first were given into slavery.
Who cut their upper teeth?
Yeah, who cut their upper teeth first? So just to clarify here, cutting of the teeth is another way of saying teething. When babies grow teeth for the first time. My understanding is, if you're a child and then it was an upper teeth of yours that happened to first, then you were given to the priest and you became a slave, like you became the priest's slave.
I'm trying to
This was said. You're trying to understand it.
I'm trying to understand.
Just go with it.
Where the reason is. Just go with it. And this is strange because this is like...
No, so this one was listed as a religious, you know, slavery done on religious grounds. And it was said to be practiced in the Niger Delta area. That's around Nigeria. So that's in Nigeria. Yeah. So it's on religious ground. So they actually give another example of religious ground. Now, this is another one that I would love if someone could verify this for me, because the Igbos are a huge population. So someone must know.
Please.
But apparently,
reach out to
in
us.
Some parts, in some parts, every 10th child born of the same mother was sold into slavery. So if you're a woman, your 10th child is supposed to be sold into slavery. I don't know where exactly it was practiced. The source just said Igbos, but I doubt it was throughout because they were diverse people.
Yeah.
So there's no way it was throughout.
Hmm.
It would be lovely if someone could verify if that was the case, because if that was the case, that would be wild.
Yeah.
There's another people that they claim that the Sith child born to them is sold into slavery. So, yeah. Anyway, moving on. There was another example where in Segu, in modern-day Mali, a woman who refuses to marry... or if you are a if you are renounced by your family members, or your woman who refused to marry, you could be sold into slavery by your parents. So maybe your parents come, they're like, "Oh, marry this guy." You're like, "No, I don't like him." Blah, 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 blah. Slavery.
Damn. I
don't think it was just straightforward like that. But the point is, it was an option, you know. If your family renounced you or rejected you, you could become a slave.
Bruh.
Yeah. So, so those are some of the paths to slavery in West Africa.
Okay.
Probably should have actually even started with the paths to slavery before going to do anything else, come to think of it. But now you know. Now you know. And I don't know if we've gone over time. I don't know how much time we should continue doing this.
I mean,
but
maybe just
all right.
Let's continue.
I'm just going to breeze through. I'll breeze through the rest of the information. Okay. Right. Right. All right. So let me zoom in on two people groups right now. That would be the Akans and the Dahomey.
Okay.
The Akans were a very slave focused, slave reliant society, mm-hmm. and Dahomey was as well. And it was crazy because Dahomey and Ashanti were two kingdoms that really gained a lot of power when they came into contact with the Europeans.
Mm.
Or let me say, during the period that the Europeans arrived on their shores. And Dahomey would struggle to dominate its entire area because of the Yoruba to their east, who were incredibly powerful already. And but the Ashantis didn't really have any giants around them to give them those kind of problems. Oh, and you know that whole I raid your people, make them slaves, you raid my people, make them slaves?
Yeah.
It went on with the Dahomey and the Yoruba as well.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So in some instances, the Dahomey fought wars with the Yoruba, and so many wars. And in some instances, the warriors that were fighting against the Yoruba were actually of Yoruba origin.
Ah.
Who were made slaves. Yeah, they were captured into slavery, made slaves, trained, and then put into the army and sent to go and fight their own people. Yeah. So you see, it's unfathomable to us today, but that's just the thing. Slavery was just a fact of life back then, you know? Just a fact of life, and yeah, it was unfortunate, but that was it. Anyway, these people, the Ashantis, yeah. So in the Ashanti kingdom, slaves could not inherit land or property. You were a slave, and if you were many of their slaves were people that were actually brought in from the north, which is something people don't actually think about or realize, but the Ashantis got a lot of their slaves from modern-day northern Ghana or Burkina Faso.
Mm-hmm.
And the slaves they got from Burkina Faso were usually sold by the Moshi, who were the dominant people in modern-day Burkina Faso, by the way, the Moshi. So they would do the raiding, get slaves, sell to other people, etc. And then trickle all the way down to the Ashantis. Some of them stay in Ashanti. Some of them move on to the New World through the white people.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a slave in Ashanti Kingdom, and then you somehow your descendants got their freedom, or whatever, or you somehow got your freedom, you would not properly be assimilated into the society because their society was matrilineal. Mm. You need to be inheriting from a mother's side. You're not inheriting from a father's side.
Yeah.
So you need a blood connection to the Ashanti land to actually be a member of the society.
Mm.
That was a problem for a lot of them. There were different classes of slaves in Ashanti Kingdom, different categories. first was the Akwa, which was a regular slave, and mm-hmm. then there were the people who had pawned themselves for a debt they owed, who were the Awa. Yeah, and then they had the Odonko, who were the foreign-born captured, sorry, foreign-born people purchased as slaves. So like the examples I gave you, maybe from northern Ghana, maybe if there was a Fafra man that was captured and sold there, he would be an Odonko.
Interesting. All these are surnames of people I know.
Oh, really? Really?
All these are surnames.
Very interesting.
All these are surnames of, like, I've met people with those surnames in life, and I'm not finding out
what it means.
Yeah.
I hope one of them is listening to this, because they are in for some very fascinating history.
So, Akwa.
Very fascinating Odonko, history.
And what? Ewa.
Awoa.
Awoa.
A-W-O-W-A.
A-W-O-W-A. Okay. Awoa, I don't think I know. Yeah. But Kwa and Odonko. Damn. Okay. Let's go on.
Akwa and Odonko.
Yes, Akwa and Odonko.
Interesting. And then there were the Domum, who were war captives.
Okay.
You know, they go and fight other people. Maybe they fight the Evers or the Ashantis, get some slaves. And then now there were the Atre.
Atre.
No, it's not Atre. Atre is a name. No, Atre is a name. It's Atre. It's not it doesn't end with A-K-Y-E-R-E.
A-K-Y-E-R-E,
yeah.
Yes, Atre. And, okay.
Yes, Atre, yeah. They were the ones who were meant for, you know, human sacrifice.
Ah! Charlie.
Now, there's another category of slaves, who I guess they were kind of a subset of the Atre. Mm-hmm. They were the ones who were meant to be killed when their master died. So they were the Okrafo.
Oh, wow.
Now, these slaves, so what happened in the Ashanti society was, if your master was an important person and he dies, there's a good chance that you'd be killed at his funeral.
Damn.
Yeah. One thing that people did, some of the slaves did, was when they find out that your master is sick and is about to die, they'll run away.
I don't blame them. I mean, if they catch you, it's the same fate.
Can you imagine? But you know the funny thing? Apparently, they will go back to the village after the master's funeral.
Oh, so it's after the funeral, right? Yeah, you're fine.
You're fine.
Okay.
But if you are there while the funeral, if you are there,
Charlie.
If you are there and then the master dies, they will come and capture you.
Yo,
they'll come and take you from the village.
That is scary stuff, bro.
Yeah. But you know how I mentioned that they took a lot of slaves from northern Ghana?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there was one Asantehene who recruited most of his bodyguards from northern slaves. Like, he chose northern slaves to be his bodyguards.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons for that was because the northern slaves were seen as hardened people, you know?
Yeah.
Scars on their face.
That red hunter spirit. They've gone
for war.
Bruv.
Yeah. They live their entire days in the sun. Mm-hmm. There's barely any forest over there and things. You know, Charlie, 24/7 sun. You know, all of this kind of stuff. So those were the categories of slaves that emerged in Ashanti land.
Okay.
And in yeah, the Dahomey had very similar categories as well. They didn't have some of them though, but they didn't have a slave group for, like, you know, people who are meant to be killed for rituals, mm-hmm. and ceremonies or whatever. But apparently they would, they didn't have anything like that. But apparently when they had ceremonies, however, they were just going to look for slaves and, like, yo, bring this one, and kill them.
Oh, so like random selection.
Yeah, so they didn't designate you as such. Uh-huh. But when the time came, best believe you were on the plate. Oh, you were, it was possible they'll come for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, also, one fascinating thing about the Dahomey one was people sometimes paid their bride price paid the bride price for their, you know, spouse as with slaves. They use slaves to pay the bride price. Yeah.
What happened to cattle? And
okay. Oh, well, I mean, I guess a slave is worth more than the cattle. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. I think we would wrap up over here, because we've gone along. time over, you know.
No, but this is like
over the this allocated needed time.
The time. There's no way we could have shrunk.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah. It definitely needed it, cause it's slavery is slavery in West Africa. It's a very interesting topic, and it varies wildly. And
man, I mean, we'll list our sources. So if anybody wants to further research, they can go look.
Oh right, yeah, yeah, these yeah, things. Yes.
But wow, that's very eye opening episode. Now I'm looking forward to the rest of the series.
Yeah. So it's not a very pleasant part of human history, but unfortunately, slavery was a thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's actually, I always find it funny when maybe some Africans talk about, you know, yo, the Europeans have to give us reparations for years of colonialism and slavery. They took so many healthy black men from you know, from Africa. It cost us a lot of human labor. Who do you think sold like 80% of those black men to them?
Like you.
It was your ancestors. I mean, the white people did a lot of slave raiding as well, but compared to the amount that Africans sold, like Africans sold way more to them than the white people actually captured on their own. Yeah.
He sold
a lot more. So one thing many historians will tell you is that the reason the slave trade was so successful, the transatlantic slave trade was so successful, was because in many of the areas where the white people landed, there was already a slave trade, a vibrant slave trade culture going on.
Yeah.
So it was just like they were tapping into the market.
Yeah. Import and export. So it's like, and bringing foreign exchange in economic terms.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Sad. That's very
crazy.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well.
And one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of kingdoms actually became very powerful as a result of the slaves they were selling.
Mm.
The Ashanti being one, the Dahomey being
another
two.
Another one, yes.
So anyway, that's those are just, by the way, I'm sure you have a lot of questions.
I think if have you have questions,
please feel free to shoot.
Yes.
Not you, Ofori, the other people.
I too have a lot of questions.
Yeah, unfortunately, your time has run out. So feel free to ask us. So we would cover slavery from other parts of Africa as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably combine a couple of the regions, but East Africa will be its own separate region because that one is also crazy.
Mm.
And we would also talk about the Arab slave trade. A lot of people don't know about that, but yeah. Arabs have been selling Africans longer than white men have been selling Africans.
Yep.
In fact, the Arabs have been selling Africans so long that they sold Africans up until the 21st century.
Damn.
But that's for another day.
Yes. Okay. We've had
that's
enough.
For another day.
Oof. Okay.
Anyway, I think we are closing now.
Yeah, I think we end it.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to this episode of Africa's Untold Stories. I really hope it was an eye-opener for you.
Mm-hmm.
Research, a lot of these things were definitely eye-openers for me.
Mm.
It kind of gives you a pessimistic outlook on the future of Africa. We've been stabbing each other in the back for so long. Makes you wonder whenever we're going to stop doing that. But hopefully it's not too far away.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we will list every source and things that we have for you below. If you have any question, if you're listening to the podcast, you have any question, just shoot, ask anywhere, any of our platforms or in the comments area in the, I think Spotify has that. I don't know if the other ones have it though, but yeah, feel free. And I guess until next time. Peace.
Peace.